Welcome to the hippest trip in pro wrestling and the premier platform for pay-per-view punditry. This is the Chain Reaction, presented by Place of Nation and the Kings of Sport.
Swing low, time to move on. Light years in time, ahead of our time.
This past month, not 24 hours, but month, I have shown the world that I am the best pro wrestler on the planet. Nobody is better than me. No championship is more prestigious. I proved that at Survivor Series, and I will continue over and over and over again to prove it. Hurt or not, banged up or not, nobody can stop me because I am the freaking man. I am the freaking show, and most notably, I am undisputed.
The time is right now. The place, right here. And the show? Well, this is the hippest trip in wrestling podcast. This is the Chain Reaction, the program where a panel of pro wrestling pundits are prepared to pontificate on the positives and the problems of the pay-per-view, which we just perused. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, a.k.a. Nasty Nate. Welcome to episode 4 of the program. This is a co-branded production of Place to Be Nation and the Kings of Sport podcast, so you can check out the show on the PTBN wrestling feed or over on the Kings of Sport. We got a great show tonight, a big WWE event to talk about, and I've got two great guests tonight, two great members of the Chain Gang to talk about. But listeners, if you will indulge me for a minute, if I can be serious for a minute, I would like to pay tribute to one of my broadcast heroes, pay tribute to one of the greatest sports announcers of all time, Snagglepuss. Because heavens to hilarity, this is it, wrestling fans, participants even, sports entertainment's greatest array of stars, the WWE presents Around the Ring Triple Team Competition between the Wacky Smackies, the Raw Rejects, and NXT, because I'm going to put some respect on their name even. The superstars are in the ring, in the arena even, so let's get it on with it. Survivor Series 2019. Yes, we are here to talk about Survivor Series 2019, moments after the conclusion of the pay-per-view from the overserved metropolis known as the greater Chicago area. And as I mentioned earlier, I got two great guests in on the show tonight, previous members of the Chain Gang. First of all, let's head up north. Let's go north and talk to a brilliant wrestling mind who gave me the most succinct, that's how you say it. I still got Snagglepuss affectations going on here. Succinct even. But he gave me the most succinct description of this show in the group chat before we started recording tonight. I said, how was this show in your opinion, brother? And he said, interesting. So let me bring on the most interesting man in Canada, Brent Chittenden. How you doing this week, brother?
This is going to be a good show because, as I mentioned off air, I've been battling a cold and I haven't been following the product. So I watched this pay-per-view high on meds and not completely sure what some things were going on, but I'm glad to be here to talk about it.
Oh, it's good to talk wrestling with you again, my friend, and the other member of the Chain Gang. He's not high on meds, he's high on life. And maybe still hungover from the NXT reaction show last night. He is, of course, my tag team partner on Place to Be Nation's main event and 1/4 of the infamous Cracker Barrel gang, Scott Criscola. Scotty, how you doing tonight?
What is going on, Brother Nate? And I'm doing well. Earlier in the evening, I had a different ailment than Mr. Chittenden. I think I drank one of Stephanie McMahon's smoothies. And... And that kind of matriculated through the evening show. But I am well. I am high on everything, except I have no cocktails in front of me because it would end even worse than last night. Oh, it did not. We had a great show last night, by the way. Check it out. And but tonight, I'm looking forward to it because last night's show, Brother Nate, was easy to talk about.
Yes.
Because it was so damn good. Tonight, I might have to do a little verbal surgery on this one.
Well, let's start there. Let's start there because, Brent, you said you hadn't been watching the product and you've been battling a cold. Did you get a chance to check out any of the NXT action from last night?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I was in and out of consciousness, basically, and not due to the show. But it was enough that, like, tomorrow or Tuesday, I'm going to go back and review it. Because while I haven't been – I should clarify, I haven't been following – main roster product, I have been following NXT quite a bit, and I really think NXT's got some a lot of good, has some bad, but the good outweighs it, whereas on the main roster, unfortunately, the bad outweighs the good most of the time, and I've sort of given up on it for the time being.
Well, and not to tip my hand about what I thought about Survivor Series, but yes, you could easily see which brand had the hotter competitors, which brand felt fresh, which brand the audience was most connected to, and it was not a brand that was represented by a primary color. Let's just put it that way.
Very primary.
Yes. So yeah, let's get into this. This is Survivor Series 2019 from Rosemont, Illinois, and I'll read the results really quickly for those of you who are new to the Chain Reaction. We're not the type of show that goes in depth and reviews every single hold of every single match. We give you the results, and then we got some categories we like to dole out and kick around the horn style, if you will. So let's get to these results, and then we can get to the fun stuff, fellas. So on the pre-show, which I did not watch. You know, I got to be real with the audience, Scotty.
I didn't either. It's okay.
I caught the last half hour.
I didn't see
so Brent is our pre-show aficionado. Excellent. Then.
Yes.
And on the pre-show, we saw a 10-team inter-brand tag team battle royal. That already makes me feel tired.
Oof.
And we saw SmackDown, Ziggler, and Rude win by eliminating the Street Profits, Dawkins and Ford from Raw. So Ziggler and Rude won an inter-brand tag team battle royal, so they got that going for them, which is nice.
Did that count the standings? Did that count the standings?
That's a good question. Or is it weighted? Are the pre-show matches weighted?
Weighted, yeah. like figure skating.
Yes. Do pre-show matches count less towards your overall score than matches that occur in the body of the pay-per-view?
Were the French grading the pre-show? Is that what's going on?
Speaking of international judges, our next match was very international, as we saw Leo Rush defend his NXT Cruiserweight Championship in an inter-brand triple threat match, defeating Akira Tozawa and Kalisto. In our final pre-show match, the match that had Brent Tittenden getting up out of his sick bed because he knew he couldn't miss this. A champions triple threat tag team match between the New Day, your SmackDown tag team champions, the Undisputed Era Fish and O'Reilly, your NXT tag team champions, and the Viking Raiders, the Raw tag team champions, and the Viking Raiders pinned the Undisputed Era to retain their titles that weren't on the line, I guess.
They scored a point.
Yes.
For what did those points lead to?
They hit the triple Indy.
Well, as Scott's favorite phrase of the week, they scored a point in the war for brand supremacy.
Brand supremacy.
Which leads us to Survivor Series proper, and the show kicked off with the 5-on-5-on-5 Women's Survivor Series Triple Threat Elimination Match. Team NXT defeated Team Raw and Team SmackDown. Rhea Ripley and was it Ripley and Storm?
It was Ripley. No, it was Ripley, Bianca,
Ripley and Candice. Ripley and Candice. I'm talking about who were the remaining, the final two.
Oh, it was Ripley, Candice, and Io.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. They faked the injury.
Yeah, they came back.
Yeah. Good match. Way too many bodies.
Pretty good.
I like those bodies.
Yeah.
Take that comment how you will, but
exactly.
Way too many bodies for this match. And that to me is a theme that we'll see as the night goes on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Next up was the champions triple threat match between Roderick Strong, the NXT North American champ, AJ Styles, the United States champion, and Shinsuke Nakamura, the IC champ, and Roddy Strong getting the big win here, defeating AJ and Nak. Then we saw the match of the night. Adam Cole, your NXT champion, retained his title against Peter B. Dunne, as we christened him last night on our NXT reaction show.
Yes, he did. PBD.
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 Came close, but not close enough. Adam Cole retained. Next up was a singles match for the WWE Universal Championship. Wyatt took on Daniel Bryan. It was a TLC Red Light special, and The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, retained his title. And let's see. Next, we had our 5-on-5-on-5 Men's Survivor Series Triple Elimination Match, Team SmackDown versus Team NXT versus Team Raw. And it came down to Ciampa and Keith Lee from Team NXT versus Seth Rollins from Team Raw and Roman Reigns from Team SmackDown. And your final two were Roman Reigns and Keith Lee. And Roman Reigns wins the match and a modicum of brand supremacy for Team SmackDown.
Yes. Much needed.
Much needed. At this point of the night, Raw should have just gone home. Like, what the hell are we still doing here? We can get the early flight out of town. Maybe get a nice dinner. Next up, no holds barred match for the WWE Championship. Your champion, Brock Lesnar, defeated Rey Mysterio and Dominic. We'll get into that later. And finally, your main event, an unexpected main event from my perspective, guys. The Champions Triple Threat match featuring Shayna Baszler, the NXT Women's Champ, Becky Lynch, the Raw Women's Champ, and Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champ. And Shayna Baszler chokes out Bayley to win the match and brand supremacy for NXT. And that is the result of your 2019 Survivor Series. That's a lot to get
deep,
fellas.
A lot of bodies.
All right, so there's a lot of bodies, and they all hit the floor at some point. Shout out to Drowning Pool and the dude that died, RIP.
Yes.
Because they still use that song.
Like, yes, they do.
They're still getting residuals off of that.
Anytime you click on a 2001 WWF pay-per-view during the invasion, that pops up somewhere.
And my man gets his angel wings in heaven.
That's right.
It's very sentimental, Brent.
Yes.
All right. So I mentioned we had some categories, people. The first category is very simple. It's the best match of the night. But since this is Survivor Series, since it is a special occasion, I'm going to rename the best match category your supreme selection. So, Brent Chittenden, what was your match of the night for Survivor Series 2019?
I think I'm going to go with Roderick Strong, Nakamura, and
AJ.
All three guys really worked their ass off. I think Nakamura, this is the most motivated I've seen him in a little while. Like, he was really working hard in that match, and I was a little surprised that they went with Roderick to win it. I guess if you look at the booking later on, it kind of makes sense with the various titles and who was winning what and stuff. But Roderick seems to be the antithesis of, like, what we normally associate with a WWE guy. He's not very big. He's just a really good worker, and I was glad to see it. I've gotten the chance to see him live a couple times, and I always thought he was a good worker. Mm. And this match, with the little to build to it that it had, I think worked really, really well. And I also liked, weirdly, I liked how the ring attire was set up. Like, Nakamura came out in a blue suit, as opposed to his usual red. And I think like it just stood out better than like the standard generic t-shirts we usually see wear when they come out.
Yep.
So overall, I would say that would be my choice.
Yes, they may not have achieved brand supremacy tonight, but they certainly achieved sartorial splendor, French Hidden. Mm. Yeah, I like that match too. It's not the match I'm going to choose for match of the night, but I thought all three guys worked really hard. This might have been the best Nakamura match in a minute.
Yeah.
Because obviously we all respect Nak, but I've been a bit underwhelmed with his performances over the past year. And I think he, like you said, he was motivated. He knew he was going to be in there with two guys that could put on a great match. And decent amounts. All three guys worked hard, and Roddy got a nice little bump by getting the win over two established guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, what was your pick for match of the night?
Well, first off, Brother Nate, I'm going to officially change, if you don't mind, if I may be serious for a moment. I believe this should not be called the Supreme Selection, but the Supremacy Selection.
Mm.
No.
score 1 point for Scotty if you score at home.
My match of the night, very easily, is Adam Cole and the Bruiserweight himself, Peter Dunne. Adam Cole has arguably been the hardest working guy in the last month. He has wrestled all over the place on his own show, on Raw, on SmackDown. He got his ass beat last night. And I'm a little – I understand. Slight criticism I heard from fans tonight. Oh, they're not selling the injuries enough. Mm. Kind of like when, you know, Triple H got the car splatted on him at the 2000 – it was a 2000 Survivor Series. And then he came back 2 weeks later with like – excuse me. Oof. Brandy, give me your cold. You know, Triple H got the car splatted on him and he came back 2 weeks later with a Band-Aid.
It's merely a flesh wound.
It's a flesh wound. But so everyone thought like Adam Cole should have come out like in a wheelchair. I mean, you know, they taped his ribs and everything, and Pete Dunne had the knee wrapped because they did sell that, last night on, at TakeOver when we were talking about, you know, his match with Priest and Dane.
Yeah.
But I thought they worked very well together tonight. And Adam Cole just, I think he loves being NXT champion. I think he loves being in this faction, which is great, as I can tell by my Shock the System t-shirt this evening. And they're just awesome. And he's just got his pedal, you know, his foot on the pedal right now. I look forward to the next 3 or 4 months of NXT between now and even past the Rumble and heading to their show in wherever they Portland, I think, in February. Then, of course, heading to Tampa. I thought that match was a lot of fun. The length of that match, because you know me, match length of junkie, 14:10. So a decent little sprint based on the lengths of the other matches on the show. But I thought it was really well done and may have saved the show a little bit. You guys may not like where I put the match you guys were discussing tonight, but NXT had its ups and its downs tonight, but this was an up. So this was my best match of the night. Both Cole and Dunn looked amazing. Crowd didn't do them any favors. We'll get more to that as the evening progresses. The crowd didn't, and we had a couple of PTB.
This is a weird crowd tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And a couple. We had a couple of PTB guys in the crowd tonight, Brother Nate. I believe our good man Jacob Williams, who was at TakeOver last night, was there tonight. We were needling him on to like get off his ass and do something, because I mean this crowd was comatose. Chicago, man. We know Nate, we were saying last night and we're saying on Main Event Thursday that Nate, we're like, I think I'm kind of done with the city. And after tonight, I think they're done with wrestling.
Yeah, they've had so many big shows in a row. Maybe they need a break.
Yeah, maybe they have fatigue. But anyway, we'll get more into that as the evening progresses. But Cole and Dunn for my match of the night. They were amazing tonight. Amazing.
All right, so we got one for the Champions Triple Threat with AJ Nock and Roddy Strong, and one for the NXT title match with Peter B. Dunne and the one and only Adam Cole, baby. And I will agree with you, Scotty, because mm-hmm. and this may tip my hand or may not about who my blue chip stock of the night is, but I think Adam Cole just finished off one of the best weekends we've seen in a long time in this company. I think he came off looking like a star at TakeOver, and he came off looking like a star again tonight against Dunne. And I thought, like, it was just, you could tell, both guys going out here to, if not steal the show, they were at least going to make sure that you remember them by the end of the night. And sequence with Cole trying to keep Dunne from putting his mouthpiece back in, and the sequence with the Panama Sunrise into the last shot. Like, you know, these, I think this weekend, Scott, I might have realized that I've been taking Adam Cole for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That he's somebody we all knew was good, mm-hmm. but it's like, okay, yeah, sure, he's good. There's a million good guys in NXT. You know, there's a million good guys in AEW. There's a million good guys in New Japan. We see good wrestling all the time. And I think maybe it took this War Game story and then following that up with this match against Pete Dunne to be like, no, yeah, there are a lot of good guys out there, but Adam Dunne is the best guy in a brand in NXT that is full of really, really, really good guys. Like he,
Adam Cole.
Yeah.
I just realized you said Adam Dunne. I didn't know we were talking
about. I mean, he was a great hitter.
He 215 was a great hitter with 70, with 50 home runs and 300 strikeouts, but he would have made a great show tonight.
He had a little pop in his bat.
He did. He looked a lot like Malice, but that's okay.
But yes. Adam Cole. Cole to me is somebody that I think if Kevin Owens goes back to NXT, like, we don't know what Owens is going to do following this pay-per-view, but let's say Owens does go back. To me, your big three are Owens, Balor, and Dunne.
Yeah.
And Owens, Balor, and Cole. Now I'm thinking of Adam Dunne.
Yeah, I really think Adam Cole should be, like, their NXT poster boy. Because to me, he represents what they always claim NXT is for. Is like, we get the really good. Because there's no questioning, when he was in ROH, he was great. He was a standout player. But we get the good, and then we polish them to our system. And he is one of the few that you can point to and went, yeah, that's exactly right. He was great, and they've just helped him get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%.
And I think you can tell, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit, Scotty, with another match. But I think you can tell who the company, and by the company I mean your boy Vince, feels can be big deals on the main roster. Or as Brent, we gave the analogy last night on the NXT review that NXT is college, and Raw and SmackDown, they're the real world, and everything's great in college. You're being challenged to live up to your fullest potential, but when you get to the real world, you get stuck in a dead-end job. You get stuck with a boss that treats you like crap. You know, you get
so accurate.
Yes, it is.
All at the same time.
So I think that Cole is somebody that the higher-ups in the company, in the real world, if you will, I think they can see the value in him, and I hope that when he inevitably gets that call up, that they treat him with respect, because there is money to be made off of this dude.
Yes, there absolutely is. I agree 100%. Many guys tonight showed that.
Yes. Yeah, they certainly did. So let's go from this high of the best match to your most disappointing match. And again, Brent is always Mr. Technicality here, who always likes to remind me that most disappointing match and worst match are two different things, or they can be two different things. So take the question however you want to. Scotty, we'll start with you. What was your most disappointing match of the night? A category I like to call brand eh.
Yes. It was eh. I'm going to take it literally as most disappointing. Because it's kind of a tie. I'm not going to do technicality. I will pick one over the other. I'm going to obviously flip the coin on you guys, or on Brent. I think the worst match, the most disappointing match of the night was Roddy, Knock, and AJ.
Really?
Knock, okay. Knock worked his tail off. That I won't deny. But it was so boring. So boring. Here's my problem. And we saw it with the AJ Knock feud. I love the both those guys. Love those guys. And Nate, back last year before, 2 years ago before Mania, when they wrestled in New Orleans, I picked for my New Japan Classic match pick segment, I picked their match from the year before in New Japan. And that match kicked 50 pounds ass. Since then, they just don't hit the pedal like they could. I feel like they're holding something back. So I felt like the match tonight, as much as Knock worked his tail off, I won't disagree with you guys on that, something was missing. You have three guys who, at some point, and I was asking this, I might have asked you, Nate, and our guests on Thursday, if these three ever wrestled together anywhere else, if they wrestled in Japan together or they wrestled in ROH together, because you feel like these three should have great chemistry. And it wasn't awful, but I had said all along that this, and I said it Thursday on our show, this was supposed to be the match. This should have been the match of the night, just because it was probably the three top workers equally together at the same time, and it just didn't fly. The length of the match was 16:45. At times it felt like 36:45, and that's not a good thing. This was like Moxley, Kenny, 30-something minutes. Just what are we waiting for here? What's going on? Like at one point, like there's just kicks being thrown, and I don't know. I feel like that Knock and AJ don't take it to that next level like we know they can, and it hurt.
If I can interrupt a little bit,
sure.
I think honestly. I can see your issues. I think the problem's AJ. Because if you look at my review of that match, I mention Nakamura and I mention Roderick Strong.
Right.
I don't really mention AJ. And like he worked well in the match, but there's nothing to it that I can say, oh, he had an outstanding performance in
sure.
it. Like he's kind of the third man on the two-man bobsled team,
right.
and I don't know that's if bacon. It's like the if it's just something in between, some sort of chemistry thing in between him and Nakamura that has just been lost since New Japan, and they don't know where it is. But like it's one of those things. Like I can see your argument completely. I can't disagree with your choice, even though I really like that match.
Well, let's dig a little bit deeper with AJ and Knock, because their matches have been, like, they haven't been terrible, but they have been underwhelming.
Yep.
I think that's a good word to use for their series of matches in the WWE. And do you think that it's a matter of, and I'll open it up to both of you guys, do you think it's a matter of either the company not allowing them to go as far as they could go in New Japan? Or do you think it's AJ and Knock taking their foot off the gas pedal? Do you think it's age? Do you think it's some combination of all three? What's your take, Scotty?
I think it's a little bit of all of it, Brother Nate. I think that I definitely think WWE neuters them. WWE neuters everybody. Sometimes WWE seems to think that if you throw a lot of kicks to the head, because I almost was going to count tonight when we talk about the 15 men tag. I felt like there was literally like 37 Enziguris in that match. So at least 12 of the 15 guys kicked somebody in the head at least twice. And WWE seems to think if we do that a lot, that looks really devastating. But after a while, it's like, oh, he kicked him in the head. You know, it's not like when Owen kicked Shawn in the head in 95, you know, or holy shit. And, you know, I think WWE seems to think that moves look more devastating than they kind of actually are. And so it's partly their fault. I definitely think that, and again, you could blame WWE for this, I suppose, that Knock and AJ don't hit the gas like they should, like they did in that 2016 match in New Japan. I think age is a big deal. I mean, Knock is, what, 37? I think, and AJ, I think, is like, what, 41? So, you know, this isn't 2000, you know, seven knock in AJ. So I, you know, physically you have to give them some, benefit of the doubt for that. But again, these guys have done such a great job in their careers of sculpting good matches. I used to think Knock was a lot like Jeff Hardy, but he's not. And Nate, you and I have had plenty of conversations about guys like Jeff Hardy who can't fill the gaps. And that's what my issue is with Private Party. But we're not talking AEW tonight. I bash them enough on our show. I'll leave them alone tonight.
Chris Skolov always finds a way to throw some Private Party slander in there. Right.
They should have been in that battle royal. And I feel like and Knock has really grown on me. So I don't disagree with you, Brent, that he worked his tail off tonight, but just something wasn't there. Yeah. And maybe AJ's a little bit to blame, because maybe he's to the point now where he's feeling, I mean, he's still in great shape. You can tell he's not, you know, losing it, you know, conditioning wise, but I feel like Roddy was waiting to pull the ripcord and never got the chance to. I feel like he was waiting and waiting for the one of the two of them to really pull it and roll with it. And it just never happened. So it was not the worst match of the night, but it was definitely for me the most disappointing.
I think in terms of Knock and AJ, maybe not the first match they had WWE side, but definitely when we got into the ball kicking or the ball punching, I could see that like being the like taking the wind out of the sails, especially like the like after the first time they did it, and then they just kept repeating that spot. You know what I mean? It's like you plan out this great match, and then Vince or whoever, hey, buddy, so the finish is going to be you punch him in the balls. And you can just see the look on Nakamura, like, you know, maybe turning to AJ and like, maybe my English isn't that great. Could you translate that to me?
Wasn't that the Undertaker's gimmick for a little bit, where Undertaker just kicked people in the nuts?
Yeah, it's just like, and
Vince's go-to
was fine, but they made a thing out of it for a while.
Yeah,
and at that point, you know, it's kind of like your boss telling you that, like, oh, you know, no matter how hard you work, you're not getting a raise here. So why would you bother at that point? But I. Like I said, tonight it seemed like Knock was really motivated, and maybe we'll see better out of it later on. Here's hoping.
I think like you said, Brent, I kind of see where Scotty's coming from, even though I really enjoyed the match. What I will say kind of brought it down a little bit in my eyes was the crowd response to it. Like, they didn't really heat up until the finish. And you could say that about a lot of the matches on this show. So that was Scotty's most disappointing match. Brent, what was your most disappointing match of the night?
It's a tie between the women's title match at the very end. Well, I guess it wasn't for the title, but the title holders.
That was my other tie match too.
Yep. Yeah, because it's like they just didn't put it in the gear. With special mention to the men's Survivor Series match between Raw, SmackDown, and because that's the one, like, there's some highlights in that for me, but that's also the one where, are we allowed to cuss on the show? I haven't noticed yet.
Yes, you can cuss, bro.
Okay, just making sure. That was the match where I kept, like, going, like, what the fuck?
I was expecting some really cool Canadian vulgarity.
Like, whole whack of like, eliminations, and I'm like, why? But the women's match, I think it was just, I don't know what it is. I think Shayna Baszler is really good. Becky, as I think we discussed on the last episode I did with you guys, Becky just, she was doing really good as the man, and then somewhere along the line sort of lost it. And we see sparks of it here and there, but between that and like Bailey, just I feel so bad for Bailey. I don't know how you fix her at this point. It's definitely not that can I speak to your manager haircut that she's got? I think honestly, if I could book it, when Shayna Baszler comes in, she destroys Becky and Becky goes away for a while. I think Becky needs some, like, a good amount of time off. Like, I'm talking like 2-3 months where we don't see her again. And then she can maybe reinvent her badass a little bit more, tweak it a little bit, and just come in and start that feud up again. But it was just, that was the match for me that where I was looking at the time. I'm like, well, it's
yeah, they gave that match a lot of time,
like,
too.
15, 20 minutes left, because then we're hitting like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So, but this is dragging.
I will agree with you, Brent, because that was the match that I picked, because it was one of the matches I was most looking forward to. And so the disappointment hit that much harder, you know, because I think all three of those women are very capable. And Scotty and I talked last night about how much I dig Shayna Baszler. Like, I think in NXT, she has been created as this monster heel.
Yeah.
And they took the monster and made her less monstrous over the course of this brand supremacy storyline. And I don't think they did this match any favors by putting it last either. I think the crowd was kind of done by this point, as evidenced by their interest in the match and their engagement with this match. And yeah, like, it wasn't a bad match, like, technically speaking. It just wasn't interesting. And I'd rather a match be bad than boring. And this was a boring match, a boring way to end your show. And in my opinion, like, I'm glad Shayna won. I'm glad that they gave her that spotlight, but it felt like a waste of all three of these performers, Brent.
Yeah, no, like, it's one of those things that you kind of almost wish that it, like, hindsight's 20/20. If you knew it was going to be like that, you would have just, like, made it disappear off the show somehow. And it's, I think all three of those women are good workers. I think it's much like the audience. I just didn't really care. I'm happy that Shayna won, but beyond that is like, and I think it's also my problem with this particular pay-per-view overall is there was no stakes in it. We keep joking at brand supremacy, you know, what does that get you? You know what I mean? Like, NXT should come out with something out of this, you know, like they won, they had the more points than the other two squads. There should be some sort of reward other than going up to the main roster, because we know that's not exactly a reward. But I don't know what it should be, but there should, if they want to continue to do this every year, there should be a reason for it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get a good enough reason, it basically makes everything else make sense. Because that's one of the arguments you always have with this is like, well, you know, we put these teams together. Well, why the hell would that guy work with that guy? You know, you give them a reason for their brand to win. Your enemy becomes your friend, and they never did that. And I think that's, you know, Shayna should have gotten something out of this match, but she really doesn't. Like, on a whole, like, is she's not any better for it other than
she wins the match, and then right after, Brent, they let Becky get her heat back, and really wasn't into that finish. Like, with Becky, I'm the man, and the crowd's like, okay, yeah, sure, you're the man. When's that L train coming?
Yeah, those that were still there.
Yes.
I'm sure halfway through that match, there was a lot of people just going to their cars and getting on the train and headed home.
What'd you think about that women's match that closed the show, Scotty?
I thought it was a terrible decision. I understand the whole women's revolution, etc., but eventually we have to pump the brakes on this and realize, all right, I get that everybody loves Shayna and everybody loves Becky and everyone kind of moderately likes Bayley, but eventually you just got to realize, you know what, we need to have like a main event that fits. And tonight, just putting that last for the sake of putting that last was a bad idea. I would have put even though the match was not much better, I would have put the men's match last.
Absolutely, yes.
I know, not, you know, Roman winning at the end sucked, and I get that, but whatever. It is what it is. At that point, there was like 200 people in the building at that point, so who really would have given a shit either way? But
really, really, what were your other choices? Like, you
nothing.
Hands home with Brock with the belt? No. Do you want to send him home with, like, the NXT title match was the best match on the show, in my opinion, but that shouldn't really close.
Vince was never going to have that go.
That shouldn't close the show. So what do you go with?
And you should have just let Shayna shine at the end. Becky came off like a spoiled brat. And I got to tell you, I think the worst decision that was made creatively in this, and I know we're going off the rails a bit, but that's why we're the chain gang. I cut my chain. I'm running down the dirt road. I think that kind of like whatever that movie was, High Plains Drift, whatever the movie Paul Newman was in, Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I'm busting a chain. The worst decision creatively in WWE this year was outing Becky and Seth as a couple because now they have become utterly unlikable ever since. And we'll get that into that a little bit, but they should have just let Shayna run it and move on. Becky, like, doing that just so we can play Becky's theme at the end was thoroughly unnecessary.
Yep.
And wrecked the end of the show. Yeah, and I love Becky. I love Becky.
But I think it would have ended better if you could have gotten kind of the same out of it. Shayna notices Becky's coming after her in the ring, just dives out and heads up the ramp.
Yep.
Like a big smile on her face, you know, fuck you. And Becky's just steaming in the ring. And, you know, Becky's got a little bit of her heat back, and you have a potential storyline for later without damaging anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just unnecessary. But the grand scheme of things, and I understand the whole Revolution thing, and we've had some great moments with the women's division, but this match should not have been last. It was not hot enough to be last. I would have put the men's 15 man, 1,000 man match last.
You know what they should have did, Scotty? If they really wanted to, you know, highlight the women's revolution, they should have just played a tape of the War Games match from last night.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
because that was amazing.
Time for an encore presentation of last night's opener, and everything would have been great. I think the fans would have woken up to watching something on a screen more than actually watching a live match at that moment. You know, and that's sad.
Now, it kind of defeats the purpose of Survivor Series, but would have it gone better if they had taken Bayley out of that match and you just have Becky and Shayna Baszler?
Yes, I think so.
The only reason that I would not have, I'm not crazy about that, is I think Becky would have won.
Mm. Oh, true. Yeah.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, you kind of need Bayley to take the pin, I guess.
Yeah.
You can't pin the Raw 2K20 cover girl.
Really?
In the middle of the ring, as great as that game has been received?
Yes. Oh. You need to have the layaway mom hair girl take the tap out. Waiting on layaway at Caldor's or some other out of date store. But. No, that match should not have been last.
Here's how disappointed I was, Scotty, because, you know, we've talked on the show before. Like, while I respect Bray Wyatt, the performer, I'm not the biggest fan of the Fiend character and the way he's been presented as of late. I liked the Daniel Bryan Bray Wyatt match 10 times more than I liked this main event, and I was actually excited for the main event coming into the show.
Yep. No, I was too, and that you could maybe have put that match last, although I almost felt like that match was a glorified squash. So I don't know. Tonight was a tough night in that aspect. Was there really a match that really had that kind of weight? I know they were pushing it really hard, the three-way women's match. They had it on the poster and everything. I know that they tried really hard to make that match feel like it was the most important match of the night. It just didn't feel that way.
No.
You know? I don't know why. So
I liked the promos leading up to it between Shayna and Becky, but poor Bayley. I just don't know what you do with her at this point. Like, I hate to be the one to say it, but like, she would be one of those people that would probably be better off if she got released and went elsewhere for a while.
Oh yeah, she would be a huge asset to AEW's women's division. You could have Bailey versus the dentist.
Okay, maybe I reversed my decision.
They were going to get. Then we're gonna get, you know, Bailey and then we're gonna get Becky and Seth against fucking the Doctor and freaking Adam Cole Bay, Mr. Mrs. Bay, and then we're just gonna get a bunch of soap opera matches. This is great, couples fighting.
Yeah. I assume it's just because Vince is in a loveless marriage, he feels that everybody else should be.
That's a very good point, Brent.
Yeah, that's true, Brent.
Oh, which leads us to our next category, because that was a blue chip observation, Brent. So let's go to our blue chip stock of the night. Which performer do you think increased their stock the most from this pay-per-view tonight? Brent, since you hit us with that quality zinger, I'll let you go first. Who's your blue chip performer?
I think, weirdly, Keith Lee probably got the best out of the show. It just like, yeah, not that he got a lot, but now because I don't know how much of the audience in Chicago knows NXT. I think it's probably more than other towns, but at the same time, I think showing him, especially like, yeah, he didn't win, but he got that respect angle from Roman at the end, the fist bump, and he had a good showing overall. In fact, while the men's team did not do great in that match, I think all of them really got some good spots. Maybe not all the ones I would have preferred in some ways, but Keith Lee really did well. I didn't know I wanted it until I saw it there, but Chad Gable, because I refuse to use what ACH would say is his slave name.
Jesus.
I'm calling him Chad Gable. I want to see Chad Gable and Matt Riddle now. I did not want to see it before until I saw
those two. So what you want to see is the short basketball player versus, as we called him last night on the NXT reaction show, Kevin Von Erich with a cannabis card.
Yes.
but I think Keith Lee came out of it pretty good on the whole. Out of everybody else's matches, and you look at it like he's an NXT guy, he was the last guy standing besides Roman, and at this point, the minute you saw it was him, Roman, and Rollins, you knew it wasn't Keith Lee winning the match. But I'm kind of surprised that he was second. I'm a little surprised that it wasn't Rollins and Roman for the umpteenth million time.
Oh, God. The building would empty at that point.
And yeah. I think may have bumped Keith Lee up a little bit. I hope so, because I really like him. I think he's different in his size and his ability, and I think with a little bit more work in NXT, you can grow this guy into something really good. Maybe give him a mouthpiece. I don't know, but that's my blue chip stock. That's the guy who I think went up.
Okay, we got one vote for Keith Lee. Scotty, are you basking in the glory with Brent, or do you have another selection for the blue chip stock?
I am basking in I'm actually splitting it. I'm doing a male and a female. I am definitely basking in Keith Lee's glory. He was amazing tonight. Keith Lee just has this awesome look, like this look in his eye. And I'm going to compare him to – I can't believe I'm actually going to do this. I never thought I'd ever use this guy's name with Nate again. But he kind of reminds me of your boy Bob Sapp. when he was given his look in that match we did when we did our New Japan match some time ago.
He's Bob Sapp that can work.
Yeah. Bob Sapp that can get off the ground. he was amazing tonight, but I gotta give my girl and I gotta give a shout out to our girl Jenny, because this is her girl too. I gotta give it some blue chip to Rhea Ripley.
I saw that one coming.
I like to give a lot of things to Rhea Ripley, but and I also did like number one, because she's just so damn good. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but she I did like her pinfall attempt on Sasha Banks. Kind of reminded me of when Edge pinned Beulah at One Night Stand 06. It got me a little warm. In all seriousness, Rhea Ripley's getting it, guys. She's getting it. faster than I think anybody thought she'd get it.
Yeah.
She fits. I mean, she looks at Charlotte like, so you're Charlotte. Whatever. Like, I dig that. And it's not a disrespect thing. It's a, well, what am I supposed to do? It's like looking at the Patriots, even though my Cowboys almost beat them tonight in utter slogfest.
Yeah, they got jobbed by a terrible call at the end, though.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, that was just such a garbage bat. I don't expect any Patriots to give me any glow to bask in tomorrow, because they should not be proud of that performance either. But that's different. Let Marcus tell you that. That's another podcast altogether. But anyway, she gets it. She's not – my whole point of that example is Rhea Ripley is not intimidated by anything. And, you know, you could look at Charlotte because it's Charlotte. But it's like, yeah, you're Charlotte, so what? What of it? Or anybody else in that ring, like Sasha, or you know, and she just gets it. And she left this weekend on a, maybe if there's one person that had a bigger high than maybe Matt Riddle coming down the ramp tonight. but seriously, like all four NXT guys, like we're all very serious and dour, ready to fight. And Matt Riddle's hopping down there like he just took a punch out of his Kevin Von Erich card. I'm like, oh, we all know what he did backstage. But Rhea Ripley gets it. I mean, she just has that presence, you know, in the ring. And for someone so young, what is she, 23 or 24? She gets it. She's going to have health, knock on wood. She stays healthy, no major injuries. She could have an amazing career. And I was just so impressed with her on such a big
stage.
She
just turned 23 in October. So yeah, she's super young.
It's a pup. She's amazing. And so I got to split the gender between her and Keith Lee, because they were just amazing tonight. They both shined on a super big stage. Did not feel any butterflies, and if you had them, you couldn't tell. And I knew, I kind of knew that when it was down to Keith, Seth, and Roman, that Seth was going to eat a pin, because Vince would, as much as Vince sometimes wants to stick his finger in the fan's eye just because he can, if he left Seth and Roman in there alone, I would have felt bad for the three women, because the place would have been empty at that point. Everybody would have been off to the shitter.
Oh, very true. Yeah.
So I knew when it was those three left that one of them was going to eat the pin. And since Vince is calling the shots, it wasn't going to be Roman. So sorry for the long answer, but yeah, I'm going to split between Keith Lee and Rhea Ripley. They owned the evening tonight.
Okay. So we got two votes for Keith Lee and a vote for Rhea Ripley. I like all of those selections. I will too. I will give honorable mention, and you might see a theme developing with these names that I mentioned, gentlemen. My honorable mentions are Rhea Ripley and Adam Cole, baby.
Yes.
And my blue chip performer of the night, I got to agree with Brent, Keith Lee.
He was amazing.
And yeah, it says something that, and we'll talk about it later when we get to the pay it forward section, but despite the convolutedness of the WWE booking sometimes, the NXT performers went out there and put on a damn good show, and they found a way to get themselves over in front of that crowd. And I thought that Keith Lee came out of this, even in defeat, because I did see some people complaining that Keith Lee lost. And it's like, come on, he's in there with Roman Reigns. Like, what? Yeah. What do you want?
Seriously, come on. Be lucky he was the last one.
Exactly. And like they gave him a believable near fall too over Roman with the spirit bomb.
That power bomb was epic, by the way.
Yes.
Epic. Mm.
And I think he gained a lot in this defeat. You know, even going to what Brent talked about, that moment of respect at the end of the match. Kind of Roman giving him, you know, the Roman fisting him. Take that how you will, people. I know Jennifer Smith is somewhere laughing. Yep. He gave Roman the fist. He gave Keith Lee the fist, and it was, in my mind, like the fans probably didn't take too much of it because they don't. Roman, but I feel like that was Roman as a conduit for the company, saying, "Yeah, you're going to be a top guy here pretty soon." Mm-hmm. And Keith Lee is somebody who has a unique look, like you were saying. He has a great ring set. Like, I believe the line Nasu used was, nobody looks like Keith Lee and nobody moves like Keith Lee. Nope. Something to that effect. And yeah, like if they don't screw him up, because we've seen guys with potential misused and mismanaged on that main roster before. You know, look no further than a guy like Braun Strowman, who could have been a really big deal a year or so ago, Scotty. Yep. And now, like, he's still in a decent spot, but he doesn't feel special anymore.
No.
Keith Lee felt special tonight. And yes, I think they're, like, if they're smart, they are going to, you know, like Brent said, give him a little more time in NXT, but when the time is right, call him up and strap the rocket to his back. So I like Keith Lee and Roman Reigns. That's a money match right there. Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. Like, that's a money match right there.
Oh, God. Yeah. Sign me up for that one. I'd kill for that one.
Maybe,
oh, my God.
Look, and the petty side of me wants Keith Lee to beat Brock in 6 seconds and call it the reparations match. Hashtag justice for Kofi. You put this man on a damn pre-show.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get into my Kofi rant tonight. I'm gonna save that for the NWA podcast. But yeah, I actually, Kofi, knowing how this show is gonna go, I probably do want to get out of there early. Like, put me on first, and I'll be over at having a slice of deep dish.
Yep,
and a cold one. But Keith Lee to me was was one of the highlights on a show that was in desperate need of highlights. And then, so I think that this guy has all the tools. He has like the look that Vince obviously loves, Scotty. We know Vince likes hosses.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And he can go. So he's like the best of both worlds. He's a big dude, but he can actually work in the ring. So yeah, I think the sky is the limit for Keith Lee, but let's flip the script, gentlemen. Let's go from the blue chip stock to the penny stock. Who came out of this show tonight the worst for wear? Scott Criscola, I'll start with you, my friend.
A lot of them. We cut a penny in eighths.
So you want to run the scheme from Office Space that they stole from Superman 3?
Yes.
We just take fractions of pennies and
exactly
deposit into our bank accounts.
Well, I had a good one all night until the end. Because I was going to say Seth Rollins, who looked kind of like a chump at the end. And he looked like a chump in that promo earlier in the night when Kevin Owens pretty much owned him.
Yeah.
And then he got chumped and ate the pin by Keith Lee, which he should not be disappointed in. But he's definitely starting to slide. I think it's put Raw in an impasse right now in terms of the main eventers and mid-card guys and what's next and et cetera. However, based on what happened in the last, 6 minutes of the show tonight, I'm going to say that Becky took a dive. That was a terribly childish decision at the end. I mean, I know she didn't do it herself, obviously, but that was a childish booking decision tonight to have her beat the shit out of Shayna for the last 2 minutes just so we can hear Becky's music. Terrible decision. And I think her stock dropped because I think she's now treading. She reminds me a lot of Cena in 2005. Cena was getting cheered when he was facing people that we didn't like when he fought JBL and then he feuded with Jericho and all that. But then he started feuding with Kurt and we're like, well, no, we like Kurt. He's a good wrestler. He's better than you. And then that's when the Cena hate began. And now same thing with Becky. Becky feuded with Lacey, who we kind of like, but we know she wasn't ready. And then kind of bounced around a little bit. Wait, whoa, no, we like Shayna. Just let her have her moment and you could wrestle. Nope. You had to throw a temper tantrum. Not good. Mm. And now I have a feeling that her boyfriend or her fiance, I shouldn't say boyfriend, her fiance's shit, his stink is going to start to waft to that delicious orange hair, orange dye job she has. It did not look good for her at the end of the night. Bad enough that the match itself wasn't great.
Yeah.
But that in essence, kayfabe temper tantrum she threw at the end does not bode well for her down the line. I have a feeling tonight on Raw or tomorrow night, I guess whenever you post it, Brother Nate, tonight on Raw, you may see a little backlash, no pun intended. Not just for Seth, because he's been getting it anyway, but I think you may see some from Becky too. Mm. So I got to say, I think Becky's stock dropped a little bit tonight.
Okay. Just a quick question, Becky Lynch.
I assume Raw is being taped in Chicago as well.
Well, it's live, I would assume.
Yeah. Well, like it's
live,
it's,
pal.
but it's like the rest of their main pay per views, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not going to go well for Becky tomorrow night. Or even worse, instead of being booed, it'll just be silence. It'll just be
CM Punk chants.
which only happened in the last half hour of the show, which is good. We didn't hear it like at, 7:02. Yeah. We heard it, like 9:06 or 9:46 or something. So that wasn't bad, at least.
Brent, who was your penny stock of the night?
I'm pulling a Scott here, and I'm dividing it between men and women. And my women one might be a little bit controversial. I don't know.
Look at men. Brent being so progressive, standing up for equal pay. you both get half a penny.
Well, if you're using that analogy, it's going to get worse. So you'll see what I mean. So on the men's side, poor Rey Mysterio. Way to take a guy who has been special like all along, and they've just been slowly chipping away at it, like what was awesome about this guy. Now reports are he has like a clause in his contract this time that if he doesn't like how things are going, he can leave. And I hope he's not sticking around hoping that Dominic gets a contract, because, dude, it ain't worth it the way you are. Your son will get along just fine somewhere else right now. He has options. There's not just WWE or nothing anymore. It took me a couple minutes because, as Scott mentioned earlier in this episode, it's like, why the hell is he coming out like Doink the Clown? And then it's supposed to be the Joker from the Joker movie. But it really, really looks like Doink. Yes. Like, did nobody take him aside? I'm assuming he has a little bit of say in his costumes, because he does come out with some cool outfits for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But yes, like, did nobody take him aside and like, dude, you look like Doink. Don't do this. Because it just like it really looked like Brock Lesnar beating up Rey Mysterio dressed as Doink. Like, how sad does that sound when I put it that way?
Mm.
Now, the other half is, I am going to go on the women's side of things. The entire women's SmackDown roster that was involved in the team battle.
Wow. All of them.
Well, Sasha Banks, it was like we saw the teams come out, and I'm looking at the SmackDown team, and I'm like, ooh, that's rough. Because, you have Dana Brooke in there and Carmella, and, it's like Sasha's doing the heavy lifting on this team.
Lacey Evans.
And I'm like, oh, poor girl. It really showed the difference in the women's roster. Now, I know, we have a couple exceptions that weren't included for their matches, but the SmackDown general women's roster versus the women's general women's roster and NXT, like, if you had to pick one of those teams to be on your fantasy wrestling team, which one are you going to go with? Not SmackDown. Yeah. And that team just highlighted that fact that they need to put some better wrestlers over on there. Not better bodies. They're perfectly fine looking women, but like some better talent on that side.
Why? Like, the question for me, like, I think they could have gotten by with Sasha, Nikki Cross, and then Naomi Deville. Like, where were Naomi and Sonya Deville? Because that would have greatly improved the in-ring proficiency of Team SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's like Nikki and Sasha were the only two good workers on that team. It's like, and it's nothing I've ever really thought about until you see them together like that, and then you go, oh. Maybe that's why the women's SmackDown division and matches aren't lighting the world on fire, because they've got that.
That is a great point. So we got one for Becky, we got one for Brock. No, not Brock. One for Rey Mysterio. Yep. one for Matt Bourne. and then one for the SmackDown women's roster. I'm going to cheat here. And I can cheat because it's my show. I make the rules. I'm going to give my penny stock to Monday Night Raw.
Okay. Because to me, I get it. Yeah.
Because to me, Scotty, if you look at this show, I think NXT came off looking great. I think SmackDown came off looking, you know, okay, depending on which matches you looked at. To me, Raw just came off looking like the lesser brand, which shouldn't happen on a show where you have Seth Rollins, on a show where you have Becky Lynch, on a show where you have Brock Lesnar. But this show kind of reinforced that I don't really care about Seth Rollins' character right now. I don't really care, as much as I hate to say it, about Becky Lynch. Like, they have seriously cooled off whatever heat she had. And then when you talk about Brock, Brent hit the nail on the head with the way the Ray match went out. You know, you can go back to the Kofi match, the 6-second squash, or however long it was. You can go back to the match at Crown Jewel with Cain Velasquez. It's like, if Brock is going to be around, make the matches mean something. Don't make these glorified squash matches, because I'm not invested. Like, ultimately there'll be somebody that beats Brock, but by the time you get to that match, you know, a year from now, I won't care, because I won't be watching. You know, I'll be watching NXT and I'll probably be watching a little bit of SmackDown, but I can find other things to do Monday night if this is kind of what you're gonna give me. Like, Raw standing side by side next to each of those shows. And I think it kind of, like, I don't know if they meant to do it, but the way the final scores came out in this battle for brand supremacy, Scott, NXT had 4 points, followed by SmackDown with 2, and Raw only had 1 damn point. And I think that's an accurate description of what your interest level as a viewer should be for all of these shows. So maybe that's what this whole thing was about tonight, Scotty. It was about giving the viewers an easy guide, an easy scoreboard to know which show to waste your time on and which show to not waste your time on. And the NXT by far came off looking great. SmackDown looked okay. And Raw, like, what are we doing with Raw now, Scott? It used to be the flagship show, and now it feels like the show that you can easily miss.
It's sad. It's really sad. I'd like to also give a penny stock drop to the Chicago crowd.
Yes.
And I love you, Jacob Williams. You're one of my favorite people, but you all sucked tonight.
That's because Steve Willie wasn't there.
Steve Willie was not there tonight. No, that's why last night's crowd, the crowd at TakeOver kicked ass, because the conscience was there to keep everyone in line. Tonight, the crowd had no one there to rah-rah them. I mean, that main event, that women's match at the end was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally felt like the Rock Mankind empty arena match at halftime heat. That's how fucking quiet that place was. I mean, it was not pretty. See that, Nate? You know I love you. Threw a little rockism in there.
Yes. Everything goes better with Dwayne Johnson.
Exactly. Even though we got pinned by a forklift and a couple of kegs of Natty, but that's okay.
I mean, we know forklifts are strong. If they can lift Judy Bagwell, they can hold down the Rock.
that's quite true. but yeah, this was an exhibition weekend. I was talking to somebody. Well, I told you, my friend Nate, we talked about her on the show. This felt like an exhibition weekend. And now tomorrow night on Raw, like you said, we don't know what the hell's going to happen tomorrow night, because they're bottom of the barrel picking right now. I think you're going to see some major swings tomorrow night based on character and what's going to happen. I think all three shows are kind of in limbo. Even NXT, they're in a good limbo. The other two were in a not so good limbo. And I think that's a lot. I think a lot of that comes from the results tonight and where they go from here. But yeah, they've kind of made Raw must miss TV.
Yes. It's like, you know what? I'll skip USA tonight. I don't need to see Raw. I don't need to see Temptation Island. I don't need to see Todd Chrisley being sassy. I'll watch Monday Night Football instead.
Let's put it this way. If I may, Nate, let me ask a question before we move on to the next topic and the next award. And I don't want to, we don't have to go long on this, but do we think that if there was not a certain wrestling promotion banging the drum in Jacksonville, Florida, that NXT wouldn't have gotten all this shine tonight?
So along with that, I will state I was nearly fooled when Ray's son came in with the towel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. Please tell me you're not that dumb.
You're going to pull an MJF on us?
Had he thrown it in, I probably would have turned on his dad. I would have turned off the pay-per-view. Like, we would not be having this conversation. But that towel tells me that, like, exactly what Scott's saying is, you know, it's somebody watched it and somebody thought it was going to be a good idea to do something with that. And, like, but we'll swerve them, pal, because you won't actually get to throw in the towel. Instead, Brock's going to kick the shit out of you for another 5 minutes.
All right.
I think AEW certainly played a little bit into NXT's rise to prominence this past month. I think you couple that with the fact that the best reviewed main roster show of the past month has been that SmackDown where NXT basically had to take over because the regular SmackDown roster was stuck in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And so I think that 1-2 punch is what kind of lit the fire, lit the fuse for NXT. And we've seen it reflect in the ratings. And we've seen it reflect in, you know, NXT always had a good reputation, but now it feels like it's, along with AEW, the hottest thing in wrestling. So we have a legitimate head-to-head rivalry now, whereas I think when NXT first debuted, yeah, they on USA, yeah, they wanted to beat AEW in the ratings, and they wanted to siphon off some viewers, but they didn't really care. It felt like, yeah, the shows are good, but they're not throwing out all the stops.
Right.
As they have during this brand supremacy angle. And so, yeah, I like that line of thinking, Scotty. I'm going to throw something back at you.
Okay.
What if, because we all acknowledge Raw is the show out of the three that you can miss.
Mm-hmm.
What if Raw continued on this path and AEW decided to switch nights to Monday night? What effect do you think that would have on the viewing audience? Because I think they match up much better with Raw than they do with NXT.
Well, I think a lot of that depends on two things. A, if they would make Dynamite 3 hours, which would be a disastrous idea.
No, we don't need that, Cody.
No. No, we don't need that, Cody. You only have like 4 people on the roster. No, that's not going to work. Number two, if they...
You know you want hour-long private party matches, Scotty.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe at 11 o'clock. Put private party in AEW dark so they could be hidden on YouTube. I think that the other question would be, if they did go to Monday nights and they stayed 2 hours, would they go 8 to 10 or 9 to 11? If they went to 8 to 10, then Vince would have to come up with a pretty hot 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And then 10 o'clock would be once again, you know, the graveyard shift of wrestling hours. Yeah, it would be unpleasant. If they move to Mondays, and I don't think TNT is going to do that because they're pretty locked in on Mondays. Yeah.
Plus, they wouldn't want to mess with Monday Night Football when football season comes back around.
No, absolutely not. And I don't think ESPN does NBA on Monday nights. So.
No.
I don't think I think AEW is perfectly fine. If they thought that Raw was that vulnerable, they would have debuted Dynamite on TNT in October. Mm. Eventually, Raw's got to be fixed somehow. And I don't know if this is a ploy. And I mean, this is totally conspiracy theory. And this is a question, Nate, we'll talk about with Brandon Howard in the new year when we do our year in review episode of Main Event. But do we see at some point in 2020 Raw going back to 2 hours where USA goes, you know what? Maybe you guys probably don't feel like doing 3 hours anymore. We'll have to find something La Femme Nikita-ish to fire off at 11 o'clock. And you guys go from, or find something, you know, Walker Texas Ranger reboot and or something at 8 o'clock.
I got it, Scotty. I got it. I know this is going to warm your heart.
Okay.
Modern adaptation of La Femme Nikita starring Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley.
Oh, God. Please don't. Or please do. Or please do. Depending where this podcast goes, this I want people to pay like $100 Patreon for this sentence. Go ahead.
I think everybody watching the show, except for maybe Vince, knows that the show would probably benefit from going back to 2 hours because, in the defense of the Raw writers, like that's a lot of work putting on a 3 hour show every week, a 3 hour live show at that. And so, yeah, it would give the writers a bit of a break. It would allow the characters to feel more fresh because you don't have to stick them out there. Like, the matches have been good, but do you really care about a 15-minute match on Raw when you know there's no stakes to it? So I think shortening Raw would be and this is like where I was going to introduce Pay It Forward, but I feel like we're already kind of in Pay It Forward territory here. Forecasting what the company needs to do next or where they're going to go next. I think that shortening Raw would be a wonderful thing for them, but it's just too much money to pass up. And I think USA, if USA were disappointed with the ratings, that'd be one thing. But I think USA is perfectly fine with what Raw is bringing in, even if the ratings aren't as high as they used to be.
I think so. I mean, time will tell. I think, again, when the fourth quarters come out and we have because I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what Brandon has to say as we look into Q1 2020. But we're going off the rails here. But I think
you just want to hear him talk about George Barrios's hair again.
Yeah, he loves. And then I talked to George Barrios. And then I talked to George Barrios. I've never met anybody who loves George Barrios so much. But I think that I think at some point, like Vince and, you know, Bucktooth Fuckface Kevin Dunn and who, by the way, boy, did he blow it with Undisputed Era tonight. He didn't get the booms right. He didn't have the cameras in the right place. He fucking sucks now. He is terrible. Terrible. Maybe Cody should hire him. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. He didn't have, like, guys. He obviously doesn't do NXT because he doesn't know when to put the shot. He finally figured somebody must have fucking told him with Cole because they blew it with Roddy. Roddy didn't get his boom. I mean, that's nonsense. But we're definitely going to see some kind of a TV, not reboot, but something's got to be done. A refresher, yeah. Not just for USA on Mondays, but even Friday nights. I'm sure USA is like, yeah, we've been pretty good so far, but we could be better.
Yeah, SmackDown on Fox, they definitely, like, the ratings, they came out at 4 million, I believe, was the initial rating for the debut. And now they're hovering around, you know, 2.5 million, which is, you know, 2.5 million people's good, but it's not great. And I'm sure Fox is like, where those other 2 million people go?
exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, tonight, clearly, Raw was the sacrificial lamb to make sure NXT looked good.
Mm.
So
that was the one choice they got right. They made NXT look good.
Yeah.
Brent, what about you? Like, what do you think, whether it's in the ring or kind of behind the scenes, where what do you think they're going to do and where do you want to see this company go in the next, you know, 3-4 months as we head towards WrestleMania?
So I think Raw, they need to, as Scott was saying, it needs a refresh. And now you have an excuse. Like, you do the thing where, like, we tanked last night and make a reason like why that is bad. I don't know what it would be. You could have.
Is Stephanie? Hold on. Is Stephanie still the Raw general manager, or is it somebody?
Oh, who the fuck knows at this point?
Because I'm thinking we might get Stephanie starting off the show, or maybe even Vince starting the show tomorrow night.
Yeah, oh, and God. Then like just start hauling people out on the carpet and refreshing characters and ideas via that vehicle. Beyond that, it's one of those things that like it's the double-edged sword, right? Like I want to see the progression from people from NXT up to main roster, but at the same time I don't want to see those because we know what happens when it happens.
Yes, as we said last night, we don't want them to graduate. Stay in college, be graduate students. Don't come to the real world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, we all sort of agreed Keith Lee came out of this probably the best out of all the roster. And at the same time, is like, part of me worries you bring him up and we have Sexual Chocolate 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, like that's just something in the back of my mind. That Vince will see him and like, oh, he looks a lot like Mark Henry. give him a fedora and he likes the ladies.
Knowing Vince, he's gonna bring Keith Lee up and team him with Bobby Lashley, and it'll be Lashley, Lana, and Lee, and they'll be like, they're like a double stuffed Oreo. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful story. Like Vince will put Keith Lee in some stupid sexual angle that doesn't have anything to do with what this man can do in the ring.
Yeah.
So look what they're doing to poor Rusev. Like Rusev should be one of the top guys, and he's stuck in this terrible infidelity angle with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and you know it's. Part of me is like, you know, we should keep on that and get those people promoted, like the Keith Lees and Rhea Ripley, like in another year, bring her up. But at the same time, it's like, I kind of don't want them to get ruined.
Right.
Like they're in a nice little toy box. The kid in the other toy box is the one that puts firecrackers to his toys and lets them explode.
Well, I think maybe like if they wanted to. And this goes counter to the entire idea of NXT, I guess. But if they wanted to, like, NXT after tonight, after this weekend, after this past month, they shouldn't look at NXT as a minor league, right? Because that was the one part of this brand supremacy story that actually rang true is that NXT was the underdogs.
Right.
And they showed it happened with Raw and SmackDown. So they should be seen as equal footing. So, yes, maybe we can get to a point, Scotty, where NXT is not looked at as the minor leagues and it's just a different league where we can allow these characters to stay and be great.
Correct. And again, I think tonight was for NXT to look that good because Wednesday night show needs to be hot. Because of the other show.
They are coming off, for those hadn't seen the news this past week, they are coming off of the first week where AEW actually beat NXT actually beat AEW in the ratings. So they got some momentum behind them.
But there's something in, like, it was the demos they lost in a little bit, right? Like the key demos that they dropped a bit.
Yeah, I think it was like the demographics that NXT regularly wins are 50 and up, and then women 18 to 49. And the demographics that AEW usually holds are men 18 to 49, and I think like overall 18 to 49. But for some reason, and I think it's because, as Scotty alluded to, their women's division isn't the best right now. They can't seem to hold the attention of those female viewers, and they can't keep the attention of the older folks either, which is interesting to me because out of the two products, I think AEW is certainly pandering or catering, depending on how negatively or positively you want to frame it. They're certainly speaking to that old Nitro Monday Night Wars audience who would be around that age.
Well, just like Nitro did the first time.
Yeah.
Catering to the 80s viewer. Yep. AEW was trying to cater to the 90s viewer. And they're sort of succeeding. But I think this weekend really pulled the ripcord for NXT to be the highlight show on Wednesday. I think NXT succeeded among leaps and bounds this weekend, and AEW should be a little nervous because the NXT roster's hot. And I think what AEW should really worry about is, and they showed it last night and tonight, maybe not tonight as much, but last night, is they took, and we said it, not to repeat what we talked about last night, Nate, but to take a character like Dakota Kai, who none of us really gave two shits about, and now she is I don't know if she's lethal. There's only a few lethals out there, but she's a molten hot heel now, and NXT just made somebody that none of us cared about into a molten hot heel. If I'm AEW, I'm a little nervous because we don't know when their next pay-per-view is. So creatively, I don't want to get into, obviously we have more to talk about tonight's show, but looking ahead, and we'll talk more about it in a couple weeks. AEW right now is in limbo, probably because we haven't heard when the next pay-per-view is. Jericho's got the booze cruise or whatever the fuck he has at the end of January, whatever that shit show is. That'll probably be, it's a during the week thing. So they may do a live Dynamite from the boat, which would actually be kind of cool.
I've heard some rumors about that. Yeah, which would actually be a pretty unique broadcast.
Yeah, it'll look a lot like probably when Nitro was at Daytona and
I always like those shows. Like anytime they kind of the cookie cutter arenas, it was a cool visual.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we'll get more into that down the line. But tonight proved that NXT is the hot brand right now, which needs to be in the competition situation. Yep. SmackDown's fine; could use a little tweaking. Fox is probably telling them, listen, we like this Roman person. We've heard that you're big fans of them, so push him or whatever you people call for, like, making him look good kind of thing. We don't know the terminology yet. We'll get Joe Buck on it. And Raw is literally like when you find a car, like, with overgrown weeds on cinder blocks with no engine. And you need Danny Zuko and Kinnicky to fix it in the garage and to grease lightning. That's what Raw needs right now. Yes. It needs, like, the cool car with the glass hood and everything else. It's on life support. Right? I'm not saying Raw's going to get canceled or anything, but Raw's on life support right now. It needs a lot of work.
I don't know what you do to fix it. Like, there's nothing that readily comes to mind.
I hate to say it. There is one thing that readily comes to mind, Brent Chittenden, and I hate to say it because I don't want to boost up Scott's ego because I'm going to compliment his boy.
Mm-hmm.
Give Triple H the keys to the car.
Yes. Yes.
And you know what? Tomorrow would be the perfect opportunity to do it.
Probably.
Like say that, like, right now you do, like what we didn't know was the agreement is, like, if NXT came out on top, Trips got the book or got control of the Raw brand and would start doing things his way. Ugh, now
tournaments.
Hey, yeah. Well,
love tournaments.
there's so much you can. The thing is I really think from a story point of view, you could have made Survivor Series a big point into doing all this other stuff, and then they're not going to do it. Like, I think at the end of the day, this will have not a lot of effect on their TV product. They're like, in 2 weeks, we're going to forget this event even happened.
It's like the All-Star game. You know, Scotty said an exhibition. It's like the All-Star game in the NBA. Like, yeah, it's cool for the weekend. You know, you get the three-point shot, slam dunk contest, the rookie game, and the All-Star game on Sunday. But it doesn't really matter. By the end of the season, nobody's talking about the All-Star game.
At the very most, it's the home run derby, you might remember, right? It's like just like incidental things that don't really matter at the end of the day. And that's what, if you're going to do these inner brand things, they should mean something. And like, I think we've all harped on, like, the draft. This could be another thing that affects the draft later on. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you get the pick of your choice, especially if they're going to make NXT a true third brand to their series. There you go. Is like, NXT now has the number one draft point because they won Survivor Series, but they're not going to do that either.
Not going to do that either because NXT looks at the two shows and go, I'll pass.
Yeah, we don't want any of your guys. We're good.
Yeah, we don't want any of this garbage.
we'll take Charlotte and we'll take the New Day because we need some comedy, but that's about it.
Yeah, our Full Sail fans need some breakfast. We need the pancakes.
Yeah, we need the pancakes.
They would also take Asuka and
bring Asuka home.
The Kabuki Warriors, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Especially since it looks like because it's in Tampa, WrestleMania is going to have a pirate theme.
Awesome.
Yes. Real quick, Scotty, because before we get out of here, I wanted to go back and talk about stakes because that to me was the biggest disappointment from tonight and this brand supremacy storyline overall is that there weren't stakes. And I'm trying to remember what year was it where they did the Authority Survivor Series, the one where Sting returned or debuted?
14.
14?
2014. Okay. Because it led to Triple H and Sting at WrestleMania 31, yep. Which was 15. So.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, that was probably my favorite Survivor Series match in recent memory because they actually had stakes. You know, they were telling the storyline with the Authority and you know, you had the stuff with Big Show and the Rhodes brothers bringing back Cody before that. And you actually had a moment where you kind of put over Dolph Ziggler until you kind of didn't a week or so later. But that's the story of Dolph Ziggler's life. But that match was a good match, but I think what made it even better, Scott, was that it had stakes. And this show, for better or for worse, didn't have anything really other than cool matches, and we get cool matches every week.
Right. No, you're exactly right. I agree. And that's why I kind of like Brent's thinking that the stakes were under the radar. So I think, I mean, pie in the sky for me is the King comes out tomorrow night. And not Richard Petty, but the King of Kings, comes out tomorrow night and says, well,
the King's already there. The King is sitting ringside telling bad jokes.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Saying things like telling Nigel McGuinness to have his smile permanently wiped off his face. Yes, Jerry, used that joke like 7 years ago. it would be funny if Triple H and Shawn came out at the beginning of Raw tomorrow night and said, well, there was an agreement that we didn't let you fans know about Survivor Series this weekend, last night, or whatever. Shawn Michaels is now running NXT, and I am now running Raw. If we see that happen, then maybe, you know, the electric paddles will be put on the very weak heartbeat of Monday Night Raw, and things may change. But if we,
only if it happens on screen and behind the scenes as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. If we, I know. Yeah, we don't need this kayfabe nonsense. And
because if Triple H is just going to be on TV doing gimmicks that Vince is giving the okay to, we're not really going to be any better past a week or two.
No, absolutely not. No, this needs to be legit. But if we go out tomorrow night and we get the same Seth Rollins promo and Braun comes out or Braun's on SmackDown. and we get the same Drew McIntyre and bullshit. Let's be honest. Who's the hottest guy right now on Raw? Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And so maybe something starts with him tomorrow night. You know, maybe they had an idea for Royal Rumble and, you know, things may change. You know, Roman was rumored maybe to win the Rumble in Houston. Who knows? But, I'm not worried about. I'm certainly not worried about NXT Wednesday night. I'm not really worried about SmackDown Friday night because at least we have some storylines in place, you know, Roman and Corbin and all that stuff. At least they're Raw right now is. I mean, they've really got to do a lot of surgery to pull their head out of their ass right now. They're in a lot of trouble, and maybe tonight was a creative wake up call to maybe grease the skids and reboot. And I think. So I'm kind of fascinated at what we'll see tomorrow night on Raw.
So Scotty is saying that Survivor Series was like the end of Spike Lee's school days where Lawrence Fishburne is just yelling at the camera, wake up!
Yes.
Vince, wake up!
good movie.
Round the horn real quick before we say goodnight to the good people, fellas. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give Survivor Series 2019, a.k.a. WWE Presents the All-Star Laugh Olympics? Scott, you first. It took a while, but that snaggletooth came back around at the end, full circle.
That's right. I thought you were going to say Battle of the Network Stars. I'm like, well, who gets the Joe Frazier drowning in the pool segment? this is not going to be pleasant. I'm an eternal optimist. I try always being glass half full with everything. So I'm going to be glass half full. I'm going to give this a 4, which might be a little generous, but listen, the main thing, and I said at the beginning of the show, and I mentioned it in our chat beforehand, at least everybody worked their ass off tonight. Like nobody looked like garbage tonight. In the sense that everybody, like, you know, nobody fucked off. Nobody dogged it. Even Brock looked like he was actually enjoying throwing the Mysterio family all over the place. but clearly we are at a creative impasse in the company, at least on the two main rosters. But SmackDown at least has some kind of structure right now. We may not love it, but it's better than nothing. So I'm going to give SmackDown the benefit of the doubt and let them roll with, you know, Corbin and Roman and any other things they've got, and, you know, Bayley with whoever her next opponent is and such. But
okay, Scotty came with the 4, which is, at first I was going to say that feels low coming from you, Scotty, but hearing the explanation, that tracks. That makes sense because, this show here.
I tried, man.
Brent, what about you? How full is your glass, and how full did it need to be for you to give this show a passing grade?
I think I think I'm in line with Scotty. The 4 or 5 out of 10. And because I was really trying to, like, what does meh translate into a numerical function? Because, like, it's, you know, there were some good points, but it's like, at the same time, it's, I don't have faith in this company. It's part of the reason why, other than NXT, I've kind of stopped watching, because they, like, anytime I think they're going to do something good with some of the things they do, it doesn't. And it's never, and to be honest, with the exception of Kofi losing the belt, it's never terrible, but it's not good either. It's just mediocre, just like, just meh. And that's kind of where I see everything going, other than NXT. I have faith in NXT. I have a little bit more interest in SmackDown because of Daniel Bryan losing, to be honest. Just like, who do you feed to the Fiend next?
That's a good question.
Out of guys, but I have hopes for a lot of the new talent. I would really like to see the booking on Raw change, because it's, I think it's John on Way on Post Wrestling and a couple other podcasts, probably yours too, Nate, have mentioned, like, there's really no reason other than the booking Raw should be this bad. Without a doubt, it is probably the best roster of workers and talent they've ever had, and it should not be one of those things where I'm like, there should be at least 2 or 3 things that I, like, every week I'm like, well, okay, the main event story angle is not going to be my cup of tea, but this thing and this thing and this thing are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it, like the different flavors of the show, and, like, it's, if Raw were a really a color, it wouldn't be red. It would be beige, because it's just, like, bland and boring and nothing to it.
Instead of the red brand, they should be the khaki brand.
Yeah. The khaki brand. The gray brand.
They should all just come out in cotton Dockers tonight instead of their red colors.
Part of me and boat shoes with no socks.
Yes, boat shoes with no socks.
Part of me thinks that, like, one of the things they will do tomorrow is, like, you know, like, Kevin Owens, you got eliminated first, so you're being demoted to NXT. At which point, if I were Kevin Owens, I'd be like, fuck yeah, NXT!
Get the bricks, bitches!
Yeah. It's like a Brer Rabbit. Don't throw me in the Brian patch. but I want to go to the Briar Patch. Song of the South, not available on Disney Plus. Proceed, Brother Brent.
Yeah, so it's like the thing that I really like about these is getting to talk to other wrestling fans like you guys about it, because it makes me feel a little bit better.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah, and it's like, and I feel bad because like Scotty said, is everybody seem to be working really hard, and it's like, but to what end? You know,
yeah.
NXT guys, I completely understand it, is because like they're on a good show, but you know, the Raw guys especially is like, yeah, you know, good luck, guys. It's, I don't know what you'll pull out of this. I'm kind of curious to see what happens, but at the same time, is NXT is the brand that I'm like, okay, we've got some things in place here. There's some people been moved up a little bit more, and a couple moved down, and you know, it's, and with Johnny Gargano out for a while too, that leaves his slot kind of open for somebody else to take.
Yep. So Scott gives this a 4. Brent, you gave it a 4 or 5.
I'll go with a 4. That's probably more accurate.
So we got 2 4s. You probably needed a 2 4 to get through this show. And some Canadian alcoholic humor for you.
Yeah, that is true. 7 and 7.
Best thing in Canada. Well, one of the best things in Canada. Scott, I don't know if they have this where you stay, but they certainly don't have it down here in the South. But you could get beer delivered to your home.
What?
Yes, you could get beer delivered in Canada. It was amazing.
It depends on the area, but yeah, in certain places it is available.
Did Bret Hart mention that in the promo after taking care of the old? In Canada, beer goes right to your house.
I remember the first time I was up there with my ex and she ordered beer. I was like, this is the future. This, what world are we living in? Because the guy
comes to be alive
with a grocery bag full of beer. I was like, this is amazing. This is the promised land.
After we're off air, remind me, I got a really like funny / sad story about that I can tell.
Oh, no.
All right, good. After dark.
Yes, after dark, we get the hot Brent Chittenden's true Canadian stories.
For extra $5.
I think I have a name for my Patreon podcast. Thank you, Nate.
You're welcome. I'm like Jericho. I'm waiting for my thank you.
And the bubble.
And the bubble. I think just to be different, I'll be the positive one and I'll give this a 5.
Wow.
That's the positive one. That's the high mark.
Is that saying something about this show when the positive rating is still only a 50% grade?
Oh, and like you said, like everybody worked hard, right? And NXT came off looking well. That's a point in this show's favor. Keith Lee has the potential makings of a star if they don't screw it up, and that's a positive. Shayna Baszler went over, even if the main event was underwhelming. That's a positive. For everything else, like, there were moments, you know, the NXT championship match with Cole and Dunn, that was positive. Brent and I liked the triple threat with Andy, Knock, and Roddy more than you did. For us, all these positives, there was so much meh, as Brent would say, surrounding it. And so I can't really give it anything higher than a 5. And so, yeah, for one of your big 4 shows, and we talked about this on Main Event this week, Scott, for one of your premier shows to feel like an afterthought, especially coming after TakeOver last night, that's a disappointing show.
Yeah, it definitely was. Nothing was going to, unless we got like WrestleMania 17 tonight, nothing was going to touch what they did last night. Nothing was going to touch it.
No.
But you would think that usually when there's an awesome, NXT TakeOver, WWE at least finds something to at least attempt to match it. I feel like they didn't even bother and just let this thing flow and move on to tomorrow. That's what it felt like. So Trent's right. Brent. There's plenty of Trents. Brent. I think that's his middle name in Canada. No. Brent's right. This felt like a middling. Like, I don't know where you're going to put this extra point, Nate, that went from a 4 to a 5. Hopefully TLC's not a 2. But I feel like they just let this thing roll and we'll just move on to tomorrow. Like, that's what I felt as I'm watching this. I'm like, they're just going through the motions and then they'll reboot tomorrow night. This almost feels like a shitty WrestleMania. You know what I mean? And then usually the next night on Raw,
that's where the other point came from, Scotty. Now that you mentioned WrestleMania, the fact that this was a 3-hour show and not a 7-hour show, I appreciated that.
Yeah.
At least they got us out of there in a decent amount of time.
Mm.
Oh. Oh, boy. Anyway.
Speaking of getting out of here in a decent amount of time, fellas, I believe our time is winding down. So before we get out of here, you know, this night was all about brand supremacy, Scott Criscola.
Yes, it was.
But here on the Chain Reaction, we're about brand synergy. So let's go around the horn. Everybody do your plugs. And Scott, where can the good people listen to your fine work, sir?
Oh, well, anywhere I'm with you, of course. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Godfather. I'm over on both the tremendous Place to Be Nation wrestling feed as well as the Place to Be Nation pop feed. I have a myriad of shows. Our flagship, otherwise known as the Mothership, the Golf Denda, the Place to Be podcast, myself and my PIC, JRJT Rosero. Then, of course, the other great show is one that I share with somebody else. Does he let me bask in his glow? Yes, he does, Nate Milton. Of course, I'm talking about Place to Be Nation's main event, you and myself and the great conscience of the show, Steve Willey. Great topics all the time. We'll be back. Well, we're not on this week, but we'll be back the week after. And we'll probably talk. Well, we'll get into, some great topics, see what has happened on the shows and et cetera. But we talk modern day wrestling all the time. I am also on a show called Jenny and the Gems, where our fine scream queen, Miss Jennifer Smith, myself, Matt Souza, Drew Wardlaw, we find something juicy deep in the bowels of the hidden gems on the WWE Network. If you go to our feed, about a week ago, we posted the 1988 Great American Bash Greensboro show, the one of the outdoor house shows, not the pay-per-view. So check that out. And on the pop feed, a bunch of other shows, Year in Pop. And some special movie stuff. So check us out on both feeds. And again, you can follow me on Twitter at PTB Godfather. And I usually just follow Nate around holding his high school football jersey. I'm kind of like, you're Sid the Millennium Man, and I'm the manager. When you're like, I am the linebacker. You know, so that's me.
good stuff, brother. Yes, Scott. Scotty is my advocate. So
yes.
And that's unfortunately, right. he charged me the bulk rate, so I don't have to pay him every single time.
That's right. Yes.
Brent Chittenden, where can the listeners find you, and where can they hear the good stuff that you're doing north of the border, sir?
So you can find me at my main podcast, True North Nerds, which is located on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Just type in True North Nerds. It'll pop up. We talked about pop culture, comics, science fiction, whatever we happen to see in the movie theater this week. And whenever I can con the other ones or they're not around, I occasionally talk wrestling. Like, we do have an upcoming episode with Mr. Nate Milton once I get my intros and extras done.
You know, is it funny, Brent? Who doesn't have a great episode coming up at some point with Nate Milton? I mean, seriously. Amazing. Maybe you could save Raw.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want the suit to get out, but yeah, Triple H flies me to Chicago tonight, and I will be the new Raw general manager.
If that happened, I would definitely watch.
Yep.
Oh, well, don't get too excited, Brent, because Vince has me and Bobby Lashley having a menage a trois with Lana in a week, so it is what it is.
That's what he calls the lethal three-way.
The lethal three-way. As long as the check clears, I'm there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would still watch, because when your run finished, we could do a aftermath podcast of you just telling us fucked up stories about Vince and this angle.
Yes, I would be the lethal Bruce Pritchard, if you will. So Conrad, holler at your boy when I come back from my run with Vince.
That's awesome.
Oh, and of course you can find me here at the Kings of Sport, Cospod on Twitter, KOS_POD, Nate Mosaic for my personal Twitter page in the number 8, MOZAIK, the Kings of Sport Patreon, which some of you are listening to this show on, patreon.com/KingsofSport. Of course, Scotty mentioned the main event with him and Steve Willey. For anybody that missed the NXT show or they caught it but want to hear a group of people of various levels of sobriety speak about it, we have the reaction show featuring myself, Scotty, Jennifer Smith, and Tim Capel, the Cracker Barrel Gang. That is up at Place to Be Nation Wrestling right now. And, of course, the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, the greatest movie podcast in the world dedicated to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Because there's only two of them. There's my show and another show. And I think the guy who was doing that show quit. So I am officially the greatest Dwayne The Rock Johnson podcaster in the world.
He saw your name come up in the credits and went, oh, fuck this.
He's like, oh, there goes brand supremacy.
I cannot wait for my appearance.
There's going to be a... I've got plenty of movies because, as I mentioned on the... Stop making movies today with the Jumanji movie, I would be reviewing his movies until 2023.
Oh,
so man. I got a ways to go with this series.
Can't wait. It's been awesome.
You can find that at Post Wrestling. And again, that is going to do it for our review, our reaction, our chain reaction to Survivor Series 2019. So, Scotty and Brent, I appreciate you guys for sitting in the chain gang tonight and
always
helping break down this interesting show, as Brother Brent would say.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, it was exciting, Brother Nate, and always ready to be here.
Yes, I believe the next time you will hear from us or other assorted members of the chain gang will be for the Rumble. I think that's what's next on the list.
Yes, the next big one. Big one from Booker T's hometown.
Yes, we are going to H-Town to talk about the Rumble, and who knows, maybe Jose Altuve will be in the arena stealing signs.
If you hear guy number 26, you'll hear seven bangs of the trash can, and someone will get thrown over the backside.
Yeah, Royal Rumble's going to be – I think Royal Rumble's actually going to be fun because I think we'll see more NXT involvement. So that should be a good show to call, especially the women's Royal Rumble. Like, that should be a blast.
Yes. Considering there's a rumor that there may not be a takeover that weekend if they're having a separate takeover in February. So maybe that's why they're doing it now, because NXT will have a hell of a lot more involvement in the big show the next day. Then maybe they won't have a takeover. But we'll see. We'll see what happens as we turn to the new year.
Yeah, because that's another thing that kind of took away my enjoyment from this tonight is you had two shows right back-to-back, and the brand supremacy angle didn't really work, and TakeOver War Games was just so damn good.
Yeah, it was.
So it was a tough act to follow, but I was trying to figure out where I was going to go with that, but it's okay. Let's just end the show. I'm sorry, Snagglepuss. I disappointed you, my broadcasting mentor. It's my goal to go to the Olympics and wear pink jackets and speak in a voice with a lisp and describe all the action.
Good night, Snagglepuss.
So that's going to do it. That is our chain reaction, episode number 4, talking about the WWE Survivor Series. Thank you for listening to the show. And again, you can check this out on Place to Be Nation or the Kings of the Sport Patreon. So, for Scott Criscola, for Brent Chittenden, and for that man known as Snagglepuss, I am the Godfather named Milton. And we'll talk to you at the Rumble.